Well, we come in the name of Jesus to gather together to celebrate who he is and what he's done for us. And as we open the word of God that he has given to us, which we absolutely believe is an authority to our lives, let's just begin with a word of prayer and ask God to use his word to change our lives, to change our hearts. God, we come before you and we're just grateful today. We're grateful that you have called us by name. We're grateful that you went to the cross for us. We're grateful that you speak to us through your word. God, we just ask that we would have ears to hear and that we would be willing and our hearts would be willing to accept the truth that your word holds today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever planned a hike, a trip, where you're running or hiking or biking, and it's kind of like this long trip, this long run that you're going to do, and you're looking at it the night before, and you look at it and you go, that's a long way, and yet you kind of know, like, I think I can do this, I think I can make it. And then as you go in that trip, and you're running or hiking or whatever you're doing, you get to these places, these moments, like halfway, and you're like, holy smokes, I got to do this all over again. This is hard, right? Or you get to that three quarters part, and you do the same thing. And then maybe you get to that last portion of it, and you're like, man, I'm pretty sure I can make it. And yet there's this kind of staggering of that. There's these little pep talks that you speak into your head and into your life in that moment. We're in this last section of the next right step, and it's called cumulative steps. And we're going to be walking through this kind of last assignment that Samuel walked into. I was leading a bike trip, and this was in my youth pastory days, and I was leading a bike trip, and we were taking junior hires from McLean State Park to Copper Harbor, and we're going to stay at Fort Wilkins. And there are about 70 junior hires that we would move along the road, and they would take their bikes, which it's about 50 miles from there to our destination. And so we were biking along, and, you know, it's not super fast. We're just kind of cruising along. And you know, you go through Eagle River by Gitche-Gumee, and you go into Eagle Harbor. The roads, though, are windy, right? And they're hilly, and they're actually not very good roads. Like, your tires don't like them very much, because there's just drag. And at the end of it, we were going to ride up Brockway Mountain. And so we get there, and it wasn't terrible, the ride. It was a little bit difficult because it was windy and cold, and we were going up Brockway Mountain, and we're pedaling. And so we're in sections, so we had groups. So I had 10 in my group with another leader, and we're going up there. And I will tell you, I was never so happy that one of the kids had asthma in my whole life. Because I got to hang in the back with him, put it in the low gears, and just keep climbing and keep climbing. Brockway Mountain, if you get up there, there's this moment where you have to kind of go up the incline and turn at the same time. It's really, really difficult. Your legs are burning. And you get to the top, and there's just this great celebration. Our group, we're high-fiving, and we're pretty excited. And then you look over the beautiful, the beautiful golf course and the water and all the trees, and you feel like, man, I made it. I did it. And we were there for about 10 minutes, and then the guy who plans the routes goes, okay, everyone gather around. And so we gather around, and he goes, okay, you're going to go down this hill. And at the end of it, it's a little sandy, so don't go too fast. If you do, you will fall, because you have to turn when you're coming down there. And then we're going to ride over to Fort Wilkins. And I'm thinking, I just want to stay here, right? Like, this is good enough for me. I want to stay on this mountain. I am tired. I don't want to do this. And so we go down the hill, and we make the trek over to Fort Wilkins, and it's still a big chunk, right? It's a big chunk of riding you still have to do. And we're at this place in the story with Samuel where he has pedaled his bike a long time. He's worked a long time to get to the place where he's at. If you remember, this is 1100 BC before Christ, and he was dropped off at the temple when he was just a little boy. And he was in priest in training. And he's being trained to be a priest with corrupt priests and corrupt sons. And he's just pedaling his bike, just faithful. And the scriptures say that he grew in favor of people and of God because he was just following in this corrupt place that he was at. He just kept pedaling. He kept going in the middle of this, kept believing that God was, he was going to faithfully walk through that. He's pedaling along as a young man, and he gets to this place where Eli, the priest, has died. Remember, he fell over because his two sons had died, and he died. He broke his neck. And Samuel becomes this leader. He becomes the spiritual leader of Israel. And he's going place to place and saying, hey, you got to get rid of your idols. There's only one God. And you can't have all these other gods. It's not going to work that way. And he's just pedaling his bike. Just pedaling his bike along over and over and over again. And then you get to the section where he goes from one town to the next town to the next town. He goes from Gilgal to Mitzvah to Bethel to Ramah. And he just keeps doing this year after year. And there's this redundancy, this that he does over and over again. He keeps taking the next right step over and over and over again. Samuel reaches his senior years, and he hands the baton off. Remember, the nation of Israel wanted a king. And God said, okay. And so God gives them a king by the name of Saul. And Samuel is the one who anoints him as king. And he just keeps paddling. He just keeps doing. He keeps traveling his route. There is a point where he asks the people, like, you know that I'm faithful. I've never accepted a bribe from anyone, have I? And you know that I've just kept taking the next right step. I kept pedaling my bike toward this. And now he's at the end of his life. He's looking back, and you would think, you just go, man, he's in the retirement years, and it's just a great time. Like, he can see, like, all that God has accomplished through him. He's pedaled faithfully all of his life. And but that's not what happens. He's there, and he's an emotional wreck. He's an emotional wreck because he knows that Israel is in this disastrous place. Because remember who is king. Remember who is the leader. His name is Saul. And he had anointed Saul. And so he's like this emotional wreck. And Samuel's in mourning. It says that he cries. It says chapter 16 and verse 1. It tells us that he's mourning for Saul. It says this, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? You know, and you look at that and you go, how long was he mourning? Like, was he crying himself to sleep over this? It was just this deep burden that he has. And God comes to him and says, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Remember, Saul had been disobedient continuously. He had a disobedient heart. And God said, man, I'm going to reject you. And I'm going to have somebody in the kingship that is in their heart is in rhythm with my heart. But God gets to Samuel. It feels like he's pedaled a long time. It feels like he's in this place where he's in his senior years and he can kind of retire. And God comes to him and he says to him, hey, how long are you going to mourn for? I need you to get up and I need you to get moving. And, you know, you're going to take this horn. This horn is really filled, it would be filled with olive oil. And it was a sign of an anointing they would pour it over the person's head. And remember that Samuel is a prophet. And so he has to take this olive oil and he has to bring it to Bethlehem. And so you would take the animal's horn. It was kind of their version of Tupperware. And he puts this in his, on his donkey or whatever, and he brings it over to Bethlehem. And he's going to pour on the son of one of Jesse's sons. He's going to anoint him. I like this section of scripture because Samuel was stuck in his mourning, but God didn't leave him there. God understood that he was in this season where he was just distraught. He was grieving. He had lost something, or he had felt like he lost, like his whole life. Like your whole life was moving toward this moment where you could go, man, I've done this well, and look at Israel. They're really healthy spiritually. They're walking with God. And so he's mourning Saul, but he's mourning something even larger than that. But God doesn't leave him there. He says, man, you got to get up. You got to get going. It's not time to grieve anymore. I wonder if some of us are in that place where we're just grieving something. Something we lost. Something that is, maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's just the idea or the belief of a promise that we thought was going to become true and it didn't. And we're just in that place of mourning. We're in that place of feeling lost. And maybe these words are also for us. Just get up. I have something else for you to do. I have another assignment for you to do. I have another mission for you. God has a future for Samuel in this moment, and I believe he has a future for us today. What is the next thing for Samuel? It's to go to Bethlehem. It's to do what God was calling him to do. He's going to anoint a king. His name is David. We know he's a very famous king. And he's going to anoint this man as the king over Israel. And he's going to see where Israel is going to come back or have somebody who's going to lead them back to the heart of God. The next right step for Samuel is a mission where God is going to use him. So Samuel says in verse 2, but Samuel said, basically, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do this. How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Saul is a psycho. Remember that. And that's consistent also. He's disobedient heart, but he's also a psycho. He's always trying to kill somebody. He's trying to take his kingship. So the Lord said to Samuel, he goes, okay, well, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. And so you have this picture where he says, here's some of the things, here's some of the next right steps. You're going to take a heifer, you're going to go down, and you're going to go to Bethlehem, you're going to go to Jesse, and you're going to invite him to this sacrifice. But he doesn't give him all the details. He doesn't tell him which son it's going to be or which one it's going to be. I will tell you, just be faithful in this moment. Just be faithful. Get up out of your mourning and be faithful. Be faithful. He doesn't give him the whole plan. He only gives him the next right step. When we get in grief, and I think this is a lesson that we can take, when we get in this place of grief, when we get in this place where there is just this not wanting to move forward, I think there's a lesson here for us. And that lesson for us is that we are to walk toward the future, that we're to walk in the next right step. And the next right step that God told him was this: you go to Bethlehem, you go and you take this heifer. And then we get to verse 6. When they arrive, so they come into to sacrifice, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. So he's pretty excited. So he's there, Jesse's sons are there, his eldest son is in front of him, and he looks at him, and he is tall, he is handsome, and Samuel's like, this has got to be the guy, right? Like, this is the guy. Like, I am standing in front of the one whose heart is in line with God's heart. He is going to lead Israel. This is amazing. This is an amazing moment. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He rejects him. He says, no, this isn't the guy. He looks good, but there's a heart issue. And I look at Samuel and I go, man, like, you just stepped into this because of a guy's looks, what he looked like. And then I think about us. We kind of do the same thing, don't we, at times? We look at somebody and like they have a nice new F-150, they're dressed to the night, and we're like, okay, well, I can make a assumption here about this person. When we were selling the building down on College Avenue, there was a man who came in. One of the deals fell through when we were selling that property, and the next day, this man comes in, and he drives in this old, rusty Dodge truck. He has a flannel on, and he has a rip in his shirt, and he walks into my office and says, hey, I hear you're selling this building. Now, mind you, the deal over here with these other people just fell through, and I thought this guy was just going to come and say, I will give you $100,000 for it. And I said, well, you know, I don't want to waste your time. We're not talking like a few $100,000. We're talking like in the millions here. You realize that? And he goes, oh, yeah, I know that. And I'm like, well, again, I don't want to waste your time and I don't want to be insulting. But do you have that type of resource? And I'm trying to be gentle in this. And he looks at me and he smiles and he goes, oh, you don't know who I am, do you? And he goes, I'm the largest landowner up here. But I judged him, I'll tell you. Like, he had a nasty flannel shirt on and a nasty, rusty truck. I didn't think. And that's what we do, right? And that's what Samuel does. But that's not what God does. God goes, man, I'm not looking at your outward appearance. I'm looking at your heart. Is a heart that is inclined to the things of God? Is it a heart that is moving toward, like, man, I want I want what God wants in my life. The very next right step, I want that in my life. Like, is that your heart? Or is your heart inclined to things like, man, I really want to be famous. I really want to just have lots of money, or I just really want to do this or that, but it's not inclined to the heart of God. Because God looks at that. And so a question for me that I was walking through in my office is, where's my heart? How is my heart doing? Like, is it that way, or am I really interested in other things other than what God has for me? Because God, he doesn't look at our outward appearance, he looks at our hearts. And if your heart is jealous, or if it's bitter, if it's always complaining, it's only a matter of time before that's going to come out. Jesus says that. What comes from the mouth proceeds from it comes from the heart. And so our hearts, it dictates a lot of things in our lives. And so the question of is, how's your heart? Eliab was looked at by God and he was passed over because of the condition of his heart. It didn't align with God. So then it goes on in verse 8, and these other sons just start coming. Chapter 16 and verse 8, and Jesse calls one son, and then he calls another son. And the Lord said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shema pass by, but Samuel said, no, nor has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse just keeps, these sons just keep coming up. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. And I wonder if Samuel's going, man, did I misread God at this point? Like, what's happening in this moment? Like, how are all of these sons, like, one of them has to be. This is what God told me to do. Come to Bethlehem, come to Jesse, have this sacrifice. And then God is going to show, he's going to indicate. And so what does he do? He asks a question. Jesse says, like, do you have any other sons? Do you have any other ones? They're like, oh yeah, we got this other one. He's out in the field. He's tending the sheep. And so he says, well, bring him here. Send for him, and we're not going to sit down until he arrives. So they sent for him and they brought him in. This is verse 12. And David at this point is probably 12. 13, 14, somewhere in that age range. And this is what it says about him. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. So looks do matter at some level. They're just not the most important thing, right? And it says, man, he looks healthy. He's glowing. He has this fine appearance. He's handsome. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. And what do we know about David? David was a man after God's own heart. We see this throughout the scripture. This is David and Goliath. This is the guy who will lead Israel. Samuel gets to see the guy who... Jesus will come from his lineage. Samuel gets to see that. Faithful life, pedaling his bike, doing the same thing. Not all things are perfect, really rough actually, in Israel. But he gets to do this. In the middle of the chaos, he just keeps going, keeps being faithful, Samuel does. And he gets to see something pretty incredible. The anointing of King David. It's a cumulative step of his life journey. And so, what I want to do is I want to just take just a moment and go through what we've gone through. What are the things about Samuel that led him to this point? What are those markers in his life that brought him to this place of just being able to pedal, just being able to keep going, just being able to climb a mountain and then descend and be in this place of mourning, but then also like God coming to him going, you're not dead, so get up and get moving. I'm not done with you yet. Like, what are these things? What are these pictures of his life that we can see from the last 6 weeks that we've been walking through? How Samuel just kept taking the next right step. Cumulative steps actually matter. And I just want to for us to see this. Like, his life was a life of cumulative steps. They were a step after step after step after step of the right next step. And so if you think about your life and you think about our lives, like, your steps now as they accumulate, that next right step actually really, really matters. Because it only takes one wrong step of, let's say, your integrity to move you in a direction that is, it kind of zeroes out that account, right? Like, your integrity matters. Your cumulative effect of your faithfulness matters. And so that next right step for each one of us of leaving this legacy of faithfulness where people are able to say, man, I see this person as faithful. I think is found in the life of Samuel. You know, as I am closer, as some of you are also, I'm closer to the end of my life than the beginning of my life. And I hit 50 this year. And one of my sons said to me, he looked at me, he goes, well, you got about 30 years left. Happy birthday, Dad. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with you? He's not wrong, right? And some of you are closer to the end than the beginning, right? And yet, there's this accumulation of steps. There's this accumulation of steps that we can see. What's the next right step? What is the Lord asking you to do? What are these opportunities that he's asking you? Well, one of the things, I think there's four challenges that we've walked through. And I want to wrap this series up as we close with these in the life of Samuel. Challenge number one is this. If you're going to have a life that is the next right step, cumulative, faithful life, be faithful in the shadows. Be faithful in the shadows. The first record of Samuel's life shows him as a boy in a little priest outfit running around the tabernacle. He wasn't in charge. He had no title, no official responsibilities. And yet, 1 Samuel chapter 2 says he grew in favor with the people and with God. Samuel was faithful in the shadows. He was faithful in the obscurity. And it laid the groundwork for his faithfulness in the spotlight. He stayed true in a corrupt environment. He lived with integrity when no one was watching. So middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, if you're feeling, or anyone feeling unseen, be faithful in those shadows. Because who you are becoming, this cumulative effect of your life, is done in that. It's being built right now. You can't believe, I think this is the hard part of maybe a high school or a college student. You don't become faithful. Like all of a sudden you're like, okay, I just graduated from high school, or I just graduated from college. Now I'm going to become faithful. Well, when I get married, then I'll become faithful. It doesn't work like that. Like some of you are middle-aged and you're like, well, when the kids are gone, then I'll serve. Then I'll be obedient. Then I'll be in the Word. I'll have more time. That's not how it works. It's in the obscurity. It's in the shadow. It's in the routine where faithfulness begins to be developed. We train our hearts in the shadows because that's what prepares us for the light. Challenge number two is embrace repetition. Embrace repetition. Samuel's ministry took him on repeat cycles from Bethel to Gilgal to Mitzvah to Ramah again and again. Faithfulness often looks like redundancy. Parents wake the kids, feed the kids, referee the fights, pray, read, tuck in and do it again tomorrow, right? That's parenting, and that's faithfulness also. Ministry leaders, teachers, nurses, coaches, business owners, at the core of every strong home, of every strong team, or every company is this getting up, showing up over and over again. And that person did it again, and she did it again, and she did it again. It's not flashy. It's not trendy. That's what Samuel did. It wasn't flashy. He just kept doing it. Kept pedaling the bike. Faithfulness is showing up again and again. Challenge number three in our lives. Challenge number three in our lives is we watch our steps. We watch our steps. At the end of Samuel's life, in his farewell address, he asks, whose ox have I taken? Whom have I cheated? This is 1 Samuel chapter 12. And the people were saying, you've been clean. You've done right. You've never abused your power. The truth of that is that took years of him doing the next right thing over and over again. It took years to build his good name. It takes years to build your good name, but it only takes a few moments to blow it up. One season of loneliness, one panic decision to lie, one flirtation that goes too far, one act of compromise. Faithfulness means you watch your step. That's what Samuel did. He watched his step. Remember, he was the judge that went from place to place. How many times could he have gone, man, I do need a new donkey, or I do need this. And if I just took this little bit of bribe, no one's going to know. How many times could he have done that? I'm sure people tried over and over again to do that for him, to encourage him to do that, but he didn't do it. He watched his step. So we stay faithful when it's hard, in the shadows, in the monotony, and on the long road of integrity, because faithfulness isn't built in a big moment. It's built in the small, everyday ones. It's cumulative. Next right step, next right step, next right pedal, next right pedal. Challenge number four, I think, that we can take out of this is this. Live in a way that you'll be missed. Live in a way that you will be missed. We've seen Samuel's final mission, but we haven't seen the final verse on his life. His final mission was to anoint the king that would be the king that Jesus is in the lineage of. It is King David. That's his final mission, but he goes back and he continues to live his life. And at the end of his life, in 1 Samuel 25, says this. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the deserts of Paran. Why were the people mourning? He's an old guy that's been around a long time. Why are they mourning? They're mourning because Israel now had a loss. Israel now had a hole. He left a hole. His faithfulness, his commitment to integrity. It was all of Israel. Not just his family, not just a few close friends, but the entire nation grieved. Why? Because Samuel wasn't just faithful for a week. He wasn't just a good guy for a week. It was his whole life. He was faithful. He was faithful in season and out of season. He's a faithful for decades. He stepped into a broken world, a broken Israel. He stepped into it when it was a mess, and he could have went a lot of different ways. The very people that were training him were a mess. Politically, they were in chaos. Spiritually, they were in confusion. And he just kept showing up. Day after day, year after year, he was dependable. He was steady. He was faithful. And then he passed. And then all of Israel felt it. He left a hole. That's a challenge that I want to leave you with. Live your life in such a way that when you're gone, people will miss you. Not because you were loud. Not because you were the most talented. But because you were faithful. Because you kept showing up. Because your presence made a difference. Live so that when your race is over, people will look back and say, I miss them. They mattered. They followed Jesus and they didn't quit. Live so you're missed. So here we're at the end of Samuel's story, at the end of this series. But this isn't the end of the story for us. Because of this, whether it's in this life or the next life, God's not done with you. He's not done with transforming you, helping you to take steps toward him. You may be grieving, you may be tired, you may be questioning your impact. You may feel like what's ahead isn't as bright as what's behind. But if you're not dead, we learned this from Samuel, you're not done. Like Samuel, maybe you've anointed some things that are just failures. You've worked towards something in your life and it's just a failure. Saul was a failure. He wasn't great. He anointed something that was a failure. And maybe that's the place that you're in. You're just feeling that. You're just sensing that. And God's just going, man, I'm not done with you yet. Just keep going. Keep being faithful. Keep doing the next right thing. God says to Samuel, fill your horn, be on your way. So what's the next right step? What's the next thing that you need to show up for one more time? Maybe it's serving in secret. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's returning to a calling you walked away from. Whatever it is. These little steps of faithfulness, hidden, repeated, they're not wasted. They're forming something in you. They're building a legacy. A legacy where Israel missed Samuel, a legacy where the people around you, they will go, man, we missed them. They were faithful. They were faithful. I hope and my prayer throughout this series is that my heart would be inclined to the faithfulness that Samuel had. That our hearts would be faithful to take that next right step. That next right step of pursuing God, that next right step of going, man, I'm not going to stop until the very end. Because the reality is God is still choosing hearts. He still has work for my heart and for your heart. So what's the next right step for you? What's the next right thing behind this? Because at the end of the day, I hope this is greater than fame, this is greater than money, this is greater than anything else in my heart, that God would look at me and he'd go, well done, my fine and faithful servant. Well done. I hope that's your desire. I hope that's where your heart is. That we would just take these cumulative steps where God could go, man, well done. You lived the race that I set out for you. You did it well, even in the mundane, even in the stuff that wasn't fun, even in the difficulty of it. That you would just pursue that. That I would just pursue that with all of my heart, this faithfulness that Samuel showed us. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that we would be faithful in the next right step. That we would walk into this place where we would look what's behind us and take a step forward with courage and obedience until the day that you can say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. God, I pray for all of our hearts. God, that your spirit would examine and test, as King David said. That you would test our hearts, that we would know that you are the God of our whole heart, that there's not these dark places, these secret places, these things that we're holding back from you, that we would take this next right step of just going, God, you have my whole heart. That your spirit would be able to speak to us today and tomorrow. And that we would be faithful in the mundane, that we'd be faithful in the extraordinary, that we'd just be faithful. God, I just pray that for my heart and for all of my friends' hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.